Morning, honourable members and our guests. It's just to allow you to finish off your chewing and my chewing. Just if you can allow, give us 10 minutes. That's fine. Okay. Can something be done with the aircon? It's a bit hot. Okay.
But I'd let the members come next because they may color and the black and white.
Okay.
So the members
I don't mind the black and white one.
Yeah. Which one is the
color? This one is the color one.
This one is the
Oh, this is a member's list.
The members.
This is a member's list, so this one goes to you.
What?
No.
Thank you.
Welcoming the Deputy Minister, honorable members, our guests. First, let me apologize for this. I've been grumbling here. I said, gosh, this venue, it's small, a bit overcrowded. I've requested them to open the window. And the former SG of the Afghanistan Congress will say, you open a window for fresh air to come, then all other things come in which are not invited. So I hope mosquitoes, flies, everything. But we are now going to start our apologies. Obviously, there's nothing that we can do. We are here. We are here today because, as the committee, we saw it fit after receiving presentations from UIF and compensation fund, that we invite the boards of both these entities, because our understanding is that governing structures have got they are to, should I be a bit, they are to answer the things that they are to answer for. You decided to be members, to be members of the board. So as members of the board, you've got responsibilities. And we then saw it then fit. And it's not about us, about you coming to the committee, answering questions, making presentation, answering questions, asking questions, showing you the door if the need arises. It's not about that. It's about two important things, that both parties are to empower one another. That's what we always say to the department and its entities. Your presentations are going to empower us. Our questions are going to empower you. They may be harsh. At times you may think that they are trivial. No, trivial as they may be, they are important to us. Because at the end, it's not about all of us here. Because none of us here are receiving UIF. They will receive UIF when they retire. It's about those people. Majority of our people, unfortunately, who are poor, who are unemployed, who are subjected to a number of things. And our responsibility is to ensure that their social conditions are improved. A number of issues have been raised about, you hear when members are asking questions about people when going, making some applications or whatever for UIF, there are challenges. You will get those questions. Compensation fund, it's about those people that are injured on duty, whose applications may be taking years. So we're not here to, as a former health worker, we're not here to handle DM anybody with kid gloves. But obviously, we're not going to be hostile. You can never create a hostile environment, nor being arrogant. But we need to, the questions that we want to get from you. And UIF, first you will have to answer whoever from UIF. How can, at this day and age, you have 15 members of your board, and in that 15, only one is a female? Whoever is coming from UIF will have to explain. You will have to explain. It's a serious matter, which speaks volumes about you as the board and as the institution. I thought I must raise that first and foremost, because that's what strikes us, and I think it's quite a, members will speak. I'm only the captain who's to ensure that this ship is going to the right direction. And you are members of the board of both these entities at the time that our country is facing a very serious challenge of unemployment, poverty, and inequality. And all of us, again, have got that responsibility. There's an added mandate which we're all juggling about, what exactly empowerment is entailed. So it's not about only members of parliament that are to crack their skulls. Everybody. And as a structure that has been given a responsibility as per the constitution of conducting an oversight, this is an oversight. We are conducting our oversight in different ways. Committees, questions, visits to institutions. So I'm raising these things because I would appreciate, you will appreciate as the committee that you really take this process seriously. It's not the end, but it's going to be the beginning of a cabinet if there will be a need for one. So I am with those few words, I'm welcoming everybody on behalf of the committee. We have got a couple of apologies. Minister is in the cabinet meeting. Honorable Mercy. Honorable Jordan is out of the country. The DG, due to ill health, is unable to fly. And Honorable Montrelli has got a family commitment. What then we are then going to do? House rules 1, phones are on silent. Off, if preferably. Because when they are on silent, you are going to be up and down. Unfortunately, we don't have an interpreting system. We will then use English. But it's fine if you use Afrikaans. There are those that will then interpret. Ekpropielum Afrikaans te praat, dit kan ek goed Afrikaans praat. Questions, presentations will be done by invited entities. Questions will be asked by members, and then you will respond. Guests that I hear outside the tool and the department, if there are things that you want to ask, you'll ask them during our break. But as long as during the committee session, it's only these two parties and the department that are entitled to respond. We don't take photos. Only those that are designated to do that. I think that is that. The introduction. We'll use our mic, your full name, and your surname, the institution that you are coming from. I'm Lindelwa Tunjwa. I'm the chairperson of the employment of Portfolio Committee of Employment and Labour. On my left is Zolani, who is our committee secretary. On my right is Sponsen, who's our content advisor. At the back, at the extreme, is Olelo, who is secretary to the office of the chair. I will hand over to members to introduce themselves, and then Deputy Minister, then whoever is leading the two departments. How you introduce yourselves, we are not going to be prescriptive, you will do that. Anybody who is outside the Department of Labor and the two entities will stand up and use the mic, even if it's at the back, and tell us what to ungubai. Over to you, Honorable Member.
Sihlalo molweni, ndiyanibulisa noko ngaphakathi. Igama lam Lungu Nceba, yinana ilungu lale komiti.
Morning Chair and members, Deputy Minister, board members, I'm Sibusiso Mdabe from the ANC.
Thanks to the team. Greetings to everyone. My name is Nobuhle Ngabane, representing the African National Congress. Morning Chair, honorable members, the guests, officials. My name is Sibongile Zuma from African National Congress.
Morning Chairperson. Ngoxolano kaNgwezi ilungu leli komiti ngiphuma lapha kwele silo ubhejane ngiphuma esiqweni kade bekuvalela isilo uKing Goodwill Zwelithini ngingowenkatha siyathokoza.
Futhi lilo ajalisa ekusinombulelelo laleni Hermans alasaniyor ti komiti ensandi ansiyedanke.
Morning, Chair Michael Bagram from the Democratic Alliance. Thank you for having me here.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Michael Carter, also from the Democratic Alliance.
Can I make a humble request? If the two gentlemen that are behind are on the 1, 2, 3, the third, yes, if you are not going to, okay, can you, if possible, if you want to feel, you swipe for the two members, for them to be next to the mic.
Can you get the mic?
The reason is, when they are to ask questions, they are to ask questions using the mic, because those questions are to be recorded. I hope you won't feel offended. GM and your team.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm Witumelo Muloi, Deputy Minister, Employment and Labour, and we are with our COO because our DG is off sick, Ms. Masha Bronkhorst, and she will introduce her team.
Thank you and good morning. I'm going to introduce the chairperson of the UIF board and the leader of the Compensation Fund board. I was informed that the chairperson of the Compensation Fund board is busy preparing for the presidential program on the 18th. for the multi-municipal, oh, I can never remember the whole title, but the new program that has been launched in Oostambu district municipality. So to the exactly to the right is Dr. Welcome Nzimande, who is the chairperson of the UIF board. And next to him is Ms. Jacqueline Budibe, who is leading the Compensation Fund Board delegation. And if, with your indulgence, I can ask them to introduce their members, please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, for the opportunity. I've got the board members that are here and the others that have apologized. But these that are here, we have got Mr. Masangu is coming from Organized Labor. He is the chairperson of the Investment Committee in the board. And we've got Mr. Tulani Shefuta. He's from the community. And he is the chairperson of the LEP Committee. We've got Mr. Mkunu. He's coming from Organized Business. He is the chairperson of the FAC. We've got Mr. Matrigama is coming from government. We've got Mr. Mtalane is also coming from community. I don't know whether I should introduce the others that have apologized. I think it suffices that we've got David Mapoto. Is also the board member of the UIF. He's coming from Labour.
Would appreciate to have those that have apologized.
Okay.
For record purposes.
Okay. Those that have apologized are Advocate Bachani Sutu. It's a family commitment. And Advocate Nuedo Eric is work commitment. And Mr. Msekwa Tagalani, work commitment. And Mrs. Khanyaho Laura, work commitment. And Mr. Frank Stoney, not feeling well. Thank you, Chair.
Right. Compensation fund.
Good morning, members, and good morning, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come and present in this committee. I would like to introduce our members, and obviously there are some members that are not here, and I'll provide the apology and their names. In the room, we have Mr. Tsiani from Labour COSATU, who is in our investment chairperson. We also have Mr. Siditani from Labour NACTU as well, who is a member of the compensation. We have Mr. Thibaut Zana, who comes from the inspectorate. He's a member of the board as well. We've got Mr. Adam Letsele, Labour COSATU. And we also have Mr. Willamick, Labour FEDUSA. And the members that are out here, that are not here, which are from the business constituency, have apologized. They have a work commitment, Mr. Baba, Mr. Cowley as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Then we will request those that have not been mentioned to introduce themselves. And what they will do, they will come closer to where mics are. And tell us who are they.
morning, Chair and members. My name is Lebo van Wyk. I'm the Director of Board Services and Corporate Governance at UIF.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Johanna Boysen and I'm from PMG.
Honorable members, my name is Tando, my surname is Wababa. I am the parliamentary officer in the office of the minister. Again, from the office of the Minister of Employment and Labour, we have here the chief of staff of that office of the minister. We also have the spokesperson of the minister, Sabelo Mali. We also have from the office of the Deputy Minister, Karabo Makhakhane, and there's also here staff from the DG's office, Manikole Nhleki, and there is also Uma Thapelo from the office of the DG. Thank you.
There's a gentleman at the back in that corner. Who are you, sir?
My name is Jefferson. I'm a journalist from Independent Media.
Let's go see what I'm going to say. What is it? I'm going to put this in my ears. Siyazi ukuba the importance of us knowing who is here, among other things, is that if there's something that comes up and the first person who's going to be asked is myself. And not about me. He's the only one who will then stand up if he wants to take photos and take photos. Because he's from the independent media. Those are the people that can do that. Having said that, can we then get... It's quite disturbing. Should I say it? It was that disturbing DM. Even from... I just can't believe it. Compensation fund, it's all males, majority. Even those that are from the labor movement. It's quite a serious matter. Yeah. And we hope it's something that these entities will have to look into this, because it can be. It can't be that we, as Parliament, we ensure that the representation of women, and we, not unless you are telling us that in your, in particular those that are coming from the trade union movement, and I'll take an offense about that if you are going to say that there are no women that are capable to be board members. I'll take an offense, because in my other life, I'm coming from that sect. It's really a disturbing. So, we're not trying to dislodge you, but as you will be making your presentations, but you must know, Mr. Mahlangu, that you can't, as one of the senior people in the labor movement, at this day and age, you have got boards in the, where everybody is a male. But it's fine. We've noted that. We'll monitor it. We want you to know that something that we are not taking is very kind. So your political principles are here. At a particular time, you'll have to account to this committee. Because it's not only in political structures where we are saying it's about time that women and young people must be given the space to lead, right across everywhere, in boards and everywhere. Okay, can the UIF start on how you make your presentations? We're not going to be prescriptive. Who is making a presentation? Even when you are to answer questions, we won't be prescriptive. So, DM, is there anything that you want to say first before?
Thank you, Chair. I think it is good that we allow our boards to speak, and I would think I will speak at the end. I don't want to preempt what they might want to present to you. So I think we'll come at the end. Thank you so much.
Chairperson of the UIF, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and your team. The purpose of the report is to brief the Portfolio Committee on the Department of Employment and Labour on the work done by the Unemployment Insurance Fund Board for the year 2018-2019. Before I delve into the main issues of the report, I just want to thank the Portfolio Committee for inviting the UIF Board to engage on matters of oversight on UIF performance on all the fronts. These include service delivery progress, financial performance, audit outcomes, organizational performance and performance information, risk management, poverty alleviation, and governance. The invitation came at a time when the UIF Board is grappling with a number of issues relating to oversight, especially its advisory role as compared to the executive role. The Board is also interested in the relationship with the Public Investment Corporation, which is the institution responsible for the UIF investment portfolio. Oversight is important, especially during times when organizations are exposed to all forms of corruption, poor audit outcomes, and irregular expenditures, and general poor governance. As UIF Board, we are alive to our good work and shortcomings. The key ones speak to an inconsistent audit outcomes where the institution seems to move from good to bad audit outcomes, almost reflecting an organization not sure how they achieved the good outcomes in the first place. Our efforts as a board is to lift the standards of governance, accountability, financial sustainability, and taking care of the workers as seen in the UIF Act as amended, which improves the benefits due to the workers, but also introduces an instrument to UIF to intervene in ensuring that jobs are preserved and workers introduced back into the employment. We are now going to focus, first of all, on the service delivery progress. Over the years, UIF has been processing claims within 35 working days. As a board that is interested in social and administrative justice, we have sought to ensure that workers enjoy their benefits when they are due. To this end, we have supported management in reducing the turnaround time from 35 working days to 20. This target has been surpassed, where 94% of benefits are paid within 20 days and less. One of the key constraints of service delivery is the availability of competent and skilled workforce. The board has raised the matter with the UIF Executive Committee over the months. The matter has been on the radar of the board due to the high rate of unemployment in the country and how the capacity could improve the delivery of the much-needed services to the people. Slide 15 is a reflection of some of the issues we have raised with the UIF management and the progress made.
Before you come to this slide, on behalf of the committee, I would have appreciated if what you have just gone through, we had that, because you have said very important things. And we don't have it. Unfortunately, we don't have it. We only have slides.
Okay.
The narrative of what you have.
They are going to email it now.
If they can abuse it, Mr. Wababa, if they can email it to Mr. Wababa now as you are continuing, so that by the time we come to questions, members do have the copy of that. And they can also send it to the committee secretary.
Okay. They're going to do it now.
Come again?
Yes, they're going to do it now.
Okay. All right. So you are taking us to slide 15.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Okay. One of the key constraints of service delivery is the availability of competent and skilled workforce. The board has raised the matter with the UIF Executive Committee over the months. The matter has been on the radar of the board due to the high rate of unemployment in the country and how the capacity could improve the delivery of the much-needed services to the people. Slide 15 is a reflection of some of the issues we have raised with the UIF management and progress made. The financial performance is the second one we want to focus on. The financial position of the fund has remained stable over the years, starting with collection of contributions of 16 billion rand in 2014-2015 and rising up to 19.5 billion in the year 2018-19. The growth in the contribution is attributed to the salary increases during the negotiations and improved return on investment.
Sure. Sorry for the...
Okay.
Sorry for the...
Thanks, Chair.
We're looking at slide 15, not unless it's me that has got a skewed slide 15. Because what you are reflecting on now is not here. When I looked on the document, the next page, the next page after 15 talks about governance. Can I do this? Can I do this so that there is no allow? I hope compensation fund is ready. Allow UIF to sort to ensure that we get all the narratives that you are having. So that the reason for this is that one, it's difficult to ask questions when you don't have the document in front of you, even if it is a narrative. Two, what is with us is what you are taking us through is not here. So we don't want to be unfair. If I am unfair to you, you then indicate. It's only that we so correct me if I'm. I see the commissioner wants to come to your rescue. Commissioner?
Chair, as he's reading, the paragraph he's referring to is on service delivery and is referring to paragraph 15. And now he's moved to financial management, which is and he's going to be referring now to another slide, which is 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
DM?
I think on slide 15, the narrative was talking to the vacancy rate.
So DM, can they be ordered? Okay, good.
No. I was saying, I think I follow you, and I agree. The problem is that the notes of the chair that you don't have, you are unable to link them to what it is presented before us. Now, I would understand, because fortunately I had met, we myself and the minister, we met them. So I would take it that in terms of service delivery, the chairperson was relating the narrative to the vacancy rate within UIF. But I think if it pleases the chair that there must be a printing out of what the chair is presenting to you, so that you are able to follow through, I wouldn't mind that.
Can I get from the members, Honourable Ngwese?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I know, Chair, you have come up in saying that what he's saying is get lost, because now it's a paragraph from the commission as long as it's, so we can't follow, you know, the presentation very well. So I don't know, maybe it's a good advice from you, Chair, that they need to actually align the presentation, I mean the presentation by the chair versus this presentation that we have, so that we will follow the presentation correctly.
No, thanks, Chair.
Chair, I think I need the clarity before I become so confused. What I need to actually get from, I'm not sure whether from the department or from the commission, is that I was still going to consider this presentation that has been circulated before the members of the portfolio committee, or are we going to consider the one that the chairperson of the commission is presenting? Because if to consider the one that she is going to present as a supplementary documentation of I think the committee should be given time to go through it. Because now, Chair, sitting there, if now we are going to be diverted to another person, and my understanding is the reason for you and the committee to decide to call the board were the issues that came out of the presentation of the previous meeting. So if we are not going to deal with that presentation, it would totally mean that the meeting is not going to achieve the objectives of the issues that were hanging, that you wanted responses on. So I'm not sure, Chair, please provide guidance, because now I'm going to be confused. Sorry.
That's fine.
Can I do, okay?
Thank you very much, Chair.
Are you the member of the board?
Yes.
Let me allow members first.
Oh, okay.
Ricardo?
Thanks, Chair. I propose we go ahead with the presentation as it is. I'm sure we're all able to
follow the narrative when we receive it in due course, but I think the board is here. It would be silly to send them away or to delay proceedings any further. I think we're all capable of following the presentation as it's up overhead. Let's just press on regardless, and we can get the narrative later.
Can I do this? Because we will. I don't want us to be disadvantaged and to be at each other's throat unnecessarily. Can UIF ensure that we get the copy, the narrative that you are going through? And then allow, and I hope the situation is not like that, I'm just making a ruling, I hope the situation is not like that with the compensation fund. Because if it's like that, it then means we have got a problem. Let's just allow UIF to sort itself out. Give the compensation fund the time to present. Because what both members are raising, we are in two different. Because he may have an insight, or Honorable Cardo may have been able to follow, because he may have a better and a greater insight compared, because then go back, compared to those that are the first time to be in this committee and be exposed to some of the things. So for fairness, let's then allow compensation fund to make a presentation. I hope everything is in order. Then after that, we will try, because we've got the whole day for committee today, taking into the proposal by the whip that we must then be given a, because it's going to be very difficult, Honorable Cardo, truth be told. You read a presentation. That means, as well written in the presentation, we must again go to the document. It's going to create a confusion for us. That is why, at my other time, I always advise people that are to present, feel free to pick up a phone and ask the chair, how would you like a presentation? What is it that we are to bring, so that everybody is in the same wavelength? And we don't want to be unfair to you. So I think the ruling is that I hope the preparation for a person who's ensuring that we do get that whole narrative is doing that, so that we then allow the compensation fund. I don't want to allow the department, no board members of UIF to speak. That is the ruling. Can we do that? Compensation fund? I will understand you may not have been called for some time, so you wouldn't, but it's fine. Can I get a, because I will understand the challenge, Deputy Minister, is that when UIF is presenting, when compensation fund, if I'm correct, is presenting, UIF will also like to be part of the party. Can we, if somebody is, commissioner, is there somebody who's preparing the document for us? Okay, fine. Can we all then be settled, including the chair be settled? Let's then allow the compensation fund to make its presentation, and then we take it from there. Okay? Compensation fund, we'll come back to UIF.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair, for allowing us to come and provide a presentation to yourselves and your committee members. And thank you, the Deputy Minister and the members of the committee. Our presentation will deal with the mandate of the CF, the establishment of the Compensation Fund Board, strategic focus, overall annual performance, audit outcomes, and we will also talk to the board resolutions and how we would want to provide interventions on that. On the third slide, Chair, we are talking about the mandate of the Compensation Fund, which is to, as derived from Section 27(1)(c) of the Constitution, that all South Africans have the right to social security. The Compensation Fund is therefore mandated to provide social security to all injured and deceased employees. And within the Compensation Fund, our main objective is to provide compensation for disablement caused by occupational injuries or disease sustained or contracted by employees, or for death resulting from such injuries and diseases as provided for matters connected thereof. And Chairperson, on slide 4, as the establishment of the compensation board, is that we are established in terms of Section 10 of QEDA, which we are advising the minister on matters of policy arising out of or in connection with the application of the Compensation Fund Act. And the advisory board is appointed by the minister from January 2018, representing organized labor, business, government, and the HPSA. Slide 5, Chairperson, we want to reflect the responsibility of the board, which one of the board, because when you look at the responsibilities of the chair of the board as derived from the Act, is that we are advising, but sometimes that is does not expand on the work that we have to do, and therefore what the board then did was to develop a charter, and this charter speaks to what is it that we have to do. And obviously, as I indicated, to advise the minister on other issues that are related on policy and other issues that are related to the connection of application of the QEDA, to advise the minister of the nature and extent of the benefits that shall be payable to the employees and its dependents, and also to advise the minister on the appointment of the assessors, to advise also the minister when there is amendment of the Act, and further, Chair, which is not necessarily in the Act, but we thought that it's important that we need to do to advise the Director General regarding specifically the performance and his particular in functions as indicated in the Act. The further responsibilities of the board as in the charter was that we wanted to make sure that the work has to happen, and we then developed different committees. We have a committee that is called the Assessment and Benefits of the Committees, which I chair, am the responsible chair of that committee. We have the Technical Committee of Injuries of Diseases. We have the Investment Committee, I have indicated who is chairing that, and also the Strategic and Operation Committee, which is chaired by one member from Business Unity South Africa. Now, these committees, through their chairperson, represent the reports to the board and the recommendation and the resolution on what the activities they have concluded on. Chairperson, on slide 7, we're just talking to the performance trend of the Compensation Fund. You will note, Chair, that we are indicating that in 2014-15, our performance was at 45%, and we have tried to at least move where, to date, 2018-2019, we are at 27%. And Chairperson, we would request that when there are questions specifically on this presentation, specifically this slide, that we request the Commissioner to expand if members need more expansion. The next slide, which speaks to the audit outcomes and the disclaimer opinions, Chair,
We are just reflecting, but we would want to indicate upfront that as much as the compensation fund management has gone through these, they will ask them to highlight them for us, but then as the board, we have not yet convened to provide intervention specifically for the disclaimer for that for this one, so that we are able to provide the interventions. We will just provide what they are. Revenue, which is an inability to validate nature of the business and the number of the employees in each company assessed. Also, the CF's ability to collect effectively has also contributed to this poor system and configuration. On the benefits chair, due to inability to validate claims on current claim systems, which led to inadequate record management and poor system configuration. And on the investment, introduction of social responsibility investment, which accounts for 3% of the investment policy, has made it difficult to perform consolidated financial statement. We also, under the investment, have a problem where, due to different year and different accounting policies and unavailability of financial formation in line with CF reporting time frames. And the fourth one is about irregular expenditure, where we indicate where the report indicates that there was insufficient evidence for irregular expenditure incurred, and on fruitless and wasted fuel expenditure, there was insufficient evidence of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And maybe, Chair, also just to reiterate that the board will convene to provide intervention on this new report from the AG. Now, the root causes, Chairperson, of the challenges that we have indicated is that the main cause of the disclaimer and slow pace of performance is around the information, communication, and technology environment at the fund. Poorly configured systems and lack of control over management of ICT within the compensation fund. Skills gaps in financial management has been identified in the past, which took to be addressed by management, resulting in no clear turnaround strategy and audit action plans. Inability of the board to also intervene at an executive level, as we are advising, and this results in the inability to act on poor performance or even misconduct. Further, Chair, weak controls as a result of poor ICT infrastructure systems resulting in fraud and opportunism by the third parties. I will then go to the interventions that has been provided by the board to improving performance, which is on page 13. You would remember, Chair, that we indicated that we have a charter that is providing for technical committees to assist the board to do its function. So here we have the Assessment and Benefits Committee, Chair, which over time we have been making sure that with our resolution we take forward the work that we have to do. One key resolution that we have was that the fund should develop medical tariff models for future medical tariffs, which is in progress. We also have reported that on unclaimed monies to be monitored at the committee level. We have an amount, and I would request that the commissioner reflect specifically on this amount, because it's a very huge amount where our members are not able to get these funds. We need IDs, we need their banking details for them to be able to access these funds, and we are working on that to make sure that our claimants receive their monies. Also, the circular instruction related to the committees should be identified and discussed at committees. Some of these circular instructions have given us a problem where we are now changing them to a regulation, because when there are litigation, sometimes they don't specifically provide a protection for the fund, and then we have so many litigations, one which is the post-traumatic stress disorder, and people we have been taken to court, so then we are now shifting, putting that circular instruction into a regulation. And then plan of action on restructuring of the benefit structures. These benefits are for the pensioners, where we are saying some of the pensioners need to change. I mean, at some point we have our pensioners who are receiving a pension of 205, so we have tried to make sure that we don't have any one of our pensioners that are receiving such small monies, and we have moved that to at least over 1,000, and we will try to expand on this one, because this is our core responsibility to make sure that our members are taken care of. We also now have the Technical Committee on Occupational and Injuries and Diseases. This also, Chair, is unpacking the pre-authorization and the fast-checking turnaround times for making sure that medical payments are paid, analyzing of accident statistics for the fund, RMA and FEMA to inform inspection, prevention and policies. We are making sure that as this happens, we have a relationship with the Department of Labor Inspectorate to make sure that our members are under inspection and policies. Action plans on the pilot of the rehabilitation policy. Chair, while we are indicating that this is in progress, we have the Quiet Act, or should I say the Quiet Bill, that the government still, or Parliament still needs to promulgate for public comments. We have a big section there that speaks to rehabilitation, and we are hoping that once this happens, then we will begin to rehabilitate our members back into the workplace, but also make sure that there's rehabilitation for those that have been injured at work. We are also developing a post-traumatic stress disorder policy. I have indicated about this. We are developing technical regulations on QEDA through conversion of circulars into enforceable instruction, and I think I have provided information on this one. When you go to slide 15, where we're talking to the Strategic and Operations Committee, this committee, Chair, monitors compliance to QEDA and the MOUs with the inspection and enforcement. It also phases out the current system claim system, which is the Omehluku, to make sure that, you know, our systems are captured, the system captures our claims properly and the levies. We are also monitoring of performance of the mutual association, which are licensed by the minister, and develop turnaround strategy with clear, short, medium, and long-term initiatives to improve service delivery and audit outcomes. We also have a committee which is the investment, and this committee provide analysis of the performance of the PIC on investment, review the investment mandate for 2019-2020, initiate the Black Asset Manager Program with the PIC, review the investment benchmarks to mitigate against losses on incidents similar to the Steinhoff, and also provide legal action to be taken against Steinhoff to recover the losses of made, and review of the investment management unit and appointment of the investment director. And Chair, here the chairperson of the investment committee will also provide further clarity if members would need that. On slide 17, we're speaking to high-level board resolutions that we have provided through the years. Chair, the board approved the PTSD policy document, and as I've indicated, it is now being developed into a regulation. The benefits increase of 6% to QEDA pensioners, 6.4% for all related benefits, and funeral benefits amounting to 18.25%. And just more clarity, Chair, is that on the benefits for the funeral services, what we did was that workers would just provide invoices, and some of the invoices would be 3,000, some would be 2,000, but there was no proper information. Sometimes they won't have access to that, and then we thought that when there's just a funeral, we'll just provide once of 18,251 to all the members, irrespective of what they are going to do with that.
and also progress on unclaimed monies to be circulated to committee members before consideration by the board. And the board was advised to finalize the issues of FEMA Class 14 and RMA application before the election period, as Parliament will be losing. And the board actually here, Chair, we declined those requests because we thought that because we are in progress of making sure that compensation is effective and there's no need for us then to give that class to FEMA. And RMA actually also was hunting for administration for the compensation fund. We then also rejected, and this rejection for administration was that there are things that were not clear for us why they needed to administer ourselves, and then we thought that we will still do that, and this is we provided to the minister that that cannot happen. And on the rent mutual solution, I think I've just explained about that. And the impact of stain of market fallout of CFCF investment. Now, stain of is the standing agenda item for the board, and discussions are continuing. On progress report on unclaimed monies to be circulated to committee members before consideration by the board, this item is still part of the agenda progress, and we are receiving quarterly reports from the relevant committee that is dealing with the matter. And on page 18, some of the interventions here is that the board provides oversight quarterly on the following strategies: audit action plan to address and audit findings and the root causes of the findings, CF turnaround strategy to enhance the internal controls environment, and also annual performance plan on a quarterly targets. The second one is that the board has observed that current claims system, which is the Omosuko, is a challenge, and that the new EQUET system will assist CF performance. EQUET system was launched on the 1st of October. Management will brief the board on its effectiveness in our next board meeting, which is coming in November. Some of the achievements, Chair, is that following the recommendation to address the skills gap, which is something that we have been struggling, the skills audit was conducted and the organizational structure was reviewed. As a result, the fund has addressed skills gaps through the appointment of technical professionals to manage finance and core business. And I think in this year we have some CAs that have been appointed that will help us with the financial management of the fund. The Umosuku has been decommissioned and the new Comp Easy is being rolled out. Performance of the fund has improved from under 40% 5 years ago to the current 67%, with all services delivery indicators being achieved. Investment of the fund have increased in value over the last 5 years, and investment revenue comprises a large part of the total revenue. Chairperson, like I indicated, we're requesting that the investment chair expand on this matter. Action plan developed to turn around the operations of the fund and improve the audit outcomes. Chairperson and members, I thank you.
Okay, now thank you very much. That is then the presentation of the compensation fund. We will then get questions from members, and then we will then, in that, if there is anything that maybe the department would like to, in the process of question of answers of clarity, will assist. Can we then get questions? Your hands. No, don't get me from data. Okay. Where will we start? Because everybody's hand is up. Can we? Thank you. Honorable Mdabe, then it will be Honorable Inanna in the order, then the last one will be Honorable Kadu.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And thanks to the presentation from the Compensation Fund Board. Chair, I must start by saying that, or to echo what we have said, that we are here to work together to make sure that this administration and the government at large is performing to its optimum level. Chair, we note the presentation. However, there are some issues that we need to deal with. Maybe the background as well is that we did get the presentation on the audit outcomes in our last meeting from management of the fund. Therefore, the questions, or this meeting is in relation to the questions that relates to the board in particular, which relates to its functionality in performing its fiduciary duties and playing an oversight role on the governance of the fund or the institution. We received as well the annual report, and in the annual report, one of the issues among many was that there was no comment from the board on the annual report. It's all other relevant stakeholders, but the board has no report in its annual report. In this report as well, Chair, there was mention of the number of meetings the board has had during the financial year. There are as well governance structures. You have your internal audit, you have your audit committee, you have your audit and risk management unit. Now, what one fails to understand, why the department got so much adverse audit findings for quite a number of years, and yet there are these governance structures. I would quote from the annual report of the compensation fund, and on paragraph 14 of the audit committee report, and I take it that the audit committee, if my information is not correct, you let me know. The audit committee would have to meet on a quarterly basis, and therefore submit its report to or meet with the management, and therefore that report of the outcome of the meeting between the audit committee and the management would find its way to the board meetings. And as this happens on a quarterly basis, surely if the quarter meetings were presented to the board. In the second quarter meeting, there would have to be a report in terms of the action plans that were identified as gaps in the first meeting. These matters find itself up to the end or up to the last quarter of the audit committee report that presents into the annual report, which therefore then has raises a number of questions. Among them, bear with me, Chair, I'm not sure how much time do we have in addressing all these issues. The first one is management's inability to produce accurate and supported financial management, financial and performance information, as well as credible annual and consolidated financial statements. Now, this is presented into the board, and therefore there is no report that says this is the reaction of the board in far as this matter is concerned. Here is the plan that is being put in place to deal with these issues. I'll just pick a few, Chair. Lack of segregation of duties resulting in unauthorized transactions, stroke fraudulent payments processed in the claim system resulting in financial losses. I'm not sure the structure of these committees, but when the presenter was giving us the report, there is no way, or you can't relate in terms of the responsibilities of each of these committees in relation to the administrative effectiveness and financial management of the compensation fund, so that they would then be in a position to play their oversight role and input into identifying these gaps that have been identified by the audit committee. The third one is the lack of properly documented business processes and key controls. Part of the work of the board is to develop policies that would inform processes and system controls to make sure that management does adhere to good governance. But there is lack of that as far as this report is concerned. Lack of accountability and consequent management by the fund leadership. Fund leadership would include the management, include the executive, include the board members. That is the leadership of the fund. This is identified by the audit committee appointed by the board so that they will be in a position to perform their fiduciary duties. The last one, Chair, that I would want to talk to for now, it's assurance providers including audit and risk management committees as oversight bodies appear to be in place for compliance purposes, given the fact that their recommendations are not taken seriously. We said there is lack of decisive leadership, and if you look at this, it's raised by the audit committee and is presented, if that's what is happening. If not, why not? If presented, what has been done about it? I'll rest my case for now, Chair. When the time comes, one would come back. Thanks.
I,
there is one meeting that I am not going to be more rigid in time, in terms of time. It's going to be this meeting, precisely because Deputy Minister of the challenges that we have picked up as the committee in the last presentation. But it doesn't mean I see somebody was very happy that I'm allowing you to speak long. But it's fine as long as members are sensitive of the time and just be straight to the point in terms of questions that they want to ask. Okay. We are here the whole day.
Yeah, so thank you very much, and I do welcome this this presentation. Much more as I welcome the previous one that we had last week. Chairperson, before I pose my questions, I want as well to add to what you said about the composition of the fund of a male-dominated, in fact, it's entirely and exclusively male board. Chairperson, we need to take a stand, not only to raise the concern that we allow males to dominate all the institutions, as if there is no capacity that has been shown by many women that have been given the opportunity to lead. That on those that are our responsibility, maybe to send a signal of saying that we give you up until this time to rectify this. Because I remember the minister last week said he is even questioning why would the labor allow this to happen when part of the programs is the women empowerment, knowing our history, that the patriarchal system has sidelined women, that they are people of no caliber to lead. So I think we have to take a decisive action that we give them some time to review. I don't want to go too far and say that to dissolve it if they can't solve the solution, because it might not be related to this chairperson, but it's very significant. One of the reasons, many, there are many reasons. One of the main reasons that USAID didn't elect a woman was because of this patriarchal society. We rather have a stupid president like Donald Trump, I'm sorry for my language, rather than be led by a woman, Clinton. So this is a tradition and a culture that is there. Whether it's a church, whether it's at homes, any institution, before anything happens, it has to get the approval of men, but we do that when the time arises for that. Chairperson, one of the responsibilities of the compensation fund, as they clearly highlighted, is that is to compensate the people who died at work, who got injured, and so on. Or people who were affected by a number of diseases. I just want to check with the commission fund whether is this benefiting only South Africans or people from other countries out of South Africa are the beneficiaries of this fund. I am raising this because in some of the workplaces, there are people who are brought from outside South Africa, from Lesotho, Namibia, Zimbabwe, in the mining industry. I am coming from the mining industry. That there are many people who got injured, who died, but who are not South Africans. And when the compensation is being made, are those people outside the borders of South Africa being covered as well? And if so, for how long for those that are retiring because of their sicknesses? Because one of the main sicknesses that they inquire is either it's injuries or the TB or asthma. And how long are those people being covered?
up until they die. I know that when you talk of UIF, we'll say that a person qualifies for a period of 12 months. But I just need to get a clarity from this side for how long. Chairperson, I am not going to add to what my colleague has said on the number of issues that were raised by the audit committee, like inability and incapacity of the board. But the point that I wanted to say, to tell you that on page, what slide is this? On the root causes of challenges, if we are talking about the board that has got no capacity and ability, how would we therefore recommend that the fund should develop medical therapy model, make progress report, circular instruction, and so on, but already said that it has shown incapacity? Because I would understand the chairperson if we say that now that we have identified the board has got this insufficient capacities to do its responsibility. It went to workshop, additional controls were put in place so that the recommendation of the resolution of it is to take this route. If that has never been done, how would they correct themselves? Because if the audit committee has identified the incapacity, then something has to be done in order to improve the quality of their responsibilities. Then the resolutions that are highlighted here can be implemented. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Ngabane. No, thanks, Chair. One is partly covered by the speaker, but So my worry is on slide 9 on the presentation. When the chairperson of the commission, Verbatim, did indicate that they have not yet provided the intervention and that the board will convene to provide intervention on the audit outcome. But when you proceed with the report, the chairperson, you can see that an analysis of the root causes of the challenges has been provided, which is good. And when you also proceed with the report from page 12 or slide 12, you can see that there are interventions that have been put in place to actually improve the performance of the entity, which is good, as well as the resolution. But, Chair, what I want to actually look at is that from where I sit, I believe that somewhere, somehow, the board is lacking in actually executing its duty of playing an oversight role, as well as providing strategic leadership and direction to the entity. My input will be, I would love to see the board aligning all these strategies and interventions that they've recommended or presented before us with the mission and vision of the entity, and to actually adhere to the legislative and other mandates, and from time to time to evaluate performance of the entity. But what is lacking with the intervention or on audit action plan is that I don't see that these interventions are smart enough for the board to actually, from time to time, measure the performance or check the progress as far as the audit findings are concerned. They need to apply smart principles. For instance, if, like they say, the committee or the entity must implement this and that and that and that as indicated on the report, there should be a specific time or date of the finalization of the audit query. The other issue that one have actually identified in the report is that there is a lot that has been done by the entity. I've seen on slide number 19 their achievements to date that they've implemented to actually turn around the tide and the entity. But my belief is that maybe we are not tapping enough to the media space. We need to as well capacitate our communication unit so that these achievements can be published or advertised, so that even a person who is coming from a rural community, maybe in KZN, is aware of what the entity as well as the broader department is doing. These achievements are quite very good, but they need to intensify their oversight role as well as their advisor role. I thank you.
Honorable Ngozi.
Thank you, the Honorable Chairperson. Other members have actually taken some points I wanted to raise. But my comments will be on page 9 and 10, Chair. We talk about the audit outcomes, the irregular expenditure in the comments thereof that is given there, that there was insufficient evidence for irregular expenditure incurred. I really don't know, because the law is explicit about what must happen about irregular expenditure. So if there is no insufficient evidence, how then are you going to actually make sure that you implement the law? Because the law says it must be reported, investigated, and consequence management must be put in place. Therefore, if you are not sure how much is there, you know, if there is no insufficient evidence, because this does not say, you know, you don't know how much it is, but I'll just comment as it is written here. How are you going to make sure that you implement the MFMA? Because it is clear. And second to that, Honorable Chair, on page 10, you know, I like this entity because it's an entity that is honest. You know, it tells us what is the problem. You know, it tells us what is the problem. And, you know, the problem is on the root causes, number 3. Inability of the board to intervene at an executive level as their advisory results in the inability to act on poor performance or misconduct. So, here the problem is with the driver. You see? Now, if this was your business, Honorable Chair, and the assessor tells you that no, the problem is with the manager, you probably have two options. To capacitate that manager in trying to help him or her to do his job or her job, or else to remove that person and find someone so that the business can actually perform in the way you desire. So within the, you know, in the intervention, I think that should be part of the intervention. Because you can't sit with somebody who cannot actually advise you, but you are not assisting that person. You see, so I'm worried because that point is not, or whether maybe those who are drafting the report were afraid to say, no, we must capacitate you, you see. But yet you are honest enough to say, no, 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 the problem is you who are playing oversight, you know. But we can't say, no, we want the department to help you. Because that's where the problem is. And I think that, you know, adding too much responsibility, because it is a demand, you are actually adding weight on these people who are struggling as we speak. So we might see a situation whereby in the next visit, when you come back, things are worse. Because instead of carrying, instead of assisting you to carry two blocks, we added four more on top of you. So the performance, obviously, will be worse. So I really think, Chair, that, you know, in the intervention, something should be done about the board. And I don't know that how kind and generous can we be, really, because we are told what is the problem. You know, the honesty of this report tells us what must be done. But also, Chair, you know, there are comments you made before in your opening remarks. You know, the majority of these board members are men. Right, Chair? I don't think really they are representing me as a man very, very well. I'm shocked, really. You see, because it's not like we are saying this because it's them. You see, when they observe Parliament, just Parliament, and there is one man who is misrepresenting them as men, they probably have something to say, hey, that man does not represent us well. You see, you know, if we are given a task to perform, we must be honest to the task, perform it in the way it is supposed to be. So really, I'm very, very, you know, shocked and worried about this situation. But at least the presenter, when I was making some comments, you know, she was like, you know, noting that, you know, the board must either be assisted or dissolved so that we find people who will do the job. There are so many capable people and all that. But the last one, Chair, is that there is a comment somewhere that, you know, there is a problem with the issue of the, in the financial unit. No, but I'm pleased also with the intervention that, no, the staff that qualifies, you know, to do the job there has been hired. But I ask my question, who hired the previous ones? Didn't they know that they are causing a problem? If they hire Mr. Ngwezi as a former teacher for social sciences, they hire him to be maybe manager in finance. Didn't they know they were causing a problem? What did they wanted to achieve? If they knew, they wanted the entity to be in this situation, you know. So I think even to that, you know, because these decisions that, you know, boards take, they take them, you know, on behalf of government. You know, we request them to do this job on behalf of government. And who is government? You see, they mustn't take, you know, decisions that one day, you know, will cost government. You know, and this is a very important matter, Honorable Chair. So I thought that I should give these comments, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much.
I've noted you, Honorable Zuma. You will come after the, because the hands are Honorable Bakram, Honorable Kado, and the last one will be Honorable Zuma in that order. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be quick. I do want to go to that slide 9. I think that's been worded incorrectly. What the Auditor General was saying is there was insufficient evidence for them to explore properly the irregular expenditure, and the same with number 5. So just to kill that confusion over there. In terms of the root causes of the challenges, it's all very well to say weak controls, but I think the whole system was destroyed, and that's why there was fraud. The entire system, and everyone saw through it, and it's unfortunately that Umlechek, however you pronounce that system that they had, that they'd spent, I'd like to know how much they actually spent on that previous Umlechek, she's right. How much did they actually spend on it? Because I know they've been spending money on it for about 8 years now. I'd love to know how much they spend on it and how much they're going to spend on the new system, and to see if the controls will be, because it's no good actually putting in a new system unless they're telling us how much the controls will actually be. And it's all very well to say there was opportunism by third parties. They don't even tell us how many people they've actually prosecuted and who's gone to jail, how much money they've gone back. That's all very well. And now they tell us in terms of that, the next few slides, slide 15, they're now phasing out the current system. Well, apparently they were phasing it out from a year ago. And how long does it take to phase out, and how long have they been working on the new one? Maybe they can share that with us. It'll be interesting to see. If you can go to 17, it's very good that they're looking at the impact of the Steinhoff market fallout on the CF investments, but I think they also invested in some other naughty companies, and maybe they can share with us what other naughty companies they invested in. On the tip of my tongue are a few that are being investigated right now. In fact, if you look at the press this morning, they're thinking of even liquidating one of them. It might be useful to see. They then say they're going to, on slide 18, they're going to introduce a new ECOID system. This is the one that's now going to push out the old one. This ECOID, how long have they been working on it? And again, how much are they spending? And then they're saying, the ECOID system was launched on the 1st of October. I think the last time we had them here, they told us it was going to be the 1st of August. And I'd like to know about this effectiveness, is it? Then if you go to slide 19, they say there again on the second bullet point that has been decommissioned and there's a new Comp Easy. What's that? Is that the same as the ECOID, or is there a new one, Comp Easy now? That's also being rolled out, and how much is that one costing? I don't understand it. And I must tell you, in fact, I think it was 2 years ago, they told us that their system was in fact perfected, and they were very excited about how good it was going to be. I wonder when they actually found out that system wasn't working. Then they're very proud to announce on slide 19, at bullet point number 4, that the investments have increased in value. Well, that's all very well. It's in the PIC, I presume, and I hope. And it's all very well, because I think part of the reason why is because companies are paying all the time, and most of the time they actually can't get it right to pay out, and that's a problem. There were a few other things I wanted to say. The reality is that I think this is a report over a period of about 5 years. Over this period of 5 years, they have failed every single audit, horribly. And every single time they tell us they're rolling out new systems, they're phasing in new ideas, and it's going to come right. It sounds like they're singing the same old tune. Maybe they can tell us what was different to the tune they sang last year, the year before, and for the last 5, in fact 10 years. if they can tell us what, if the tune is slightly different. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. Just building on some of the points that have been made by some of my colleagues already, one of my areas of concern with the presentation is that it doesn't, to me, give an accurate reflection of just what a basket case the compensation fund is. If you look at the annual report that was released at the end of September, and particularly at the Auditor General's report, you will see that on the AG's own telling, the situation is so dire that he actually said that if it weren't for his obligation to audit public entities, he would have drawn from trying to audit the fund altogether because the situation was so bad. And just to give evidence of that, he found that the management didn't implement adequate internal controls to maintain records of benefits claimed, and he was unable to determine the accuracy of benefits paid of 5.4 billion rand, irregular expenditure of 769 million rand, fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 452 million rand, outstanding claims of 9.4 billion rand, and outstanding current claims of 1.6 billion rand. Those are very big figures that we are talking about. Now, I notice in the presentation that the board says that it's unable to intervene at an executive level because its functions are purely advisory and that therefore you cannot act on poor performance and misconduct. But you are empowered in terms of the legislation to give advice to the minister. So I would like to know, what advice have you given the minister on addressing the woeful financial situation at the compensation fund? My second question has to do with the PIC. There is a great deal of pressure on the PIC at the moment to use the funds under its management for development purposes, some of which aren't always very clearly defined. Now, the Deputy Finance Minister, David Msondo, was in Parliament yesterday, where he gave the Finance Committee, I think it was, an assurance that workers' life savings would be protected. Given that the PIC has assets under management of 2.1 trillion rand and that it is the asset manager for the compensation fund, could you tell us what interactions the board may have had with the PIC to ensure that workers' savings aren't misdirected? Thank you.
Honourable Zuma. The issue of compensation is very interesting, but seemingly to the department, it looks as if they don't care about this compensation. Why I'm saying this, it's because we are from the rural areas where people are sitting in their offices, sitting there in a long queue without any assistance getting from the staff. But anyway, because we just said that most of the staff that are working there are the hired staff. So my, to the Department of Labor or to the board, if it's a hired staff, so how did we expect as the committee that those people can do their job well, can assist our people in the way that we wish to see the progress? Secondly, I will propose that the Department of Labor needs to capacitate the board and the staff, because we can't let the department to fall down just because of the people who are not capacitated very well to do their job. Thank you.
Honourable Lomans.
Honourable Chair, thank you very much. Actually covered by the members that have spoken before me.
But just in addition to the issue of the inability of the board to act on board performance, as it has been raised by the member, except for the reason that their role is an advisory role to the minister, what are the other issues that are hampering them to act? Because giving advice to the minister, that is part of acting. If they didn't do that, what were the reasons that prohibited them from doing that or from taking action? Because by doing something, giving advice and say this is what we have identified, which is an area of concern, advise the minister to say, can you please act on this number of issues and stating them? Because my major worry is that there is fraud, there is non-performance that has been identified, but nothing has happened. And when you look into the performance of the fund that has improved from 40% to 67%, there should have been a better improvement if there is something that has been done. But due to the fact that nothing was done, we are sitting with 67%, which might have been better performance if something has happened. The second issue, Chair, on the issues, it's on the audit outcome, the issue of the weak controls, which also, as a result of poor ICT, resulting to fraud and opportunism by third parties. The only issue that is mentioned is the phasing out of Umehoko, which was the ICT system that was used then. But what I'm trying to understand is that was it only the issue of Umehoko? There are no other issues that have been identified except for this one of Umehoko, the system. What are the other things that have happened and what are the actions? Because when you look into the report, once you identify that there has been misconduct committed, there are actions that are going to be taken. But when you look into the report is silent on that, except for the spin-off issue that I have seen. I might have missed it in the report to say these are the actions that have been taken when it comes to misconduct. But when I look into it, there is absolutely nothing. I see only the phasing out of Motlogo, which is the system that was creating problems and that was easy to be defrauded and everything. And also the same of issue, but it's silent on other issues and actions that have been taken when it comes to misconduct. Thank you, sir.
All members have asked questions which are serious questions. For me, in relation to, just for information, which I would have, I think that you may have been informed by the commission, that when we were taken aback as the committee on the 5 years of the disclaimer, we were further told, in fact, Minister said, ourselves as the executive, when we were taken aback, we were even told that, in fact, it's not 5 years, it's 9. And then why should we have a board? A board that is, as much as maybe the third bullet in page 10, it's what is saying it all about the ability and the capacity of the board of the compensation fund. Maybe Honorable Ngozi is correct by saying you were honest. So for me is that even that issue of a disclaimer in the report is not coming up, is not elevated, GM, as the major challenge. The last question for me which I would have wanted to ask is that I'm of the understanding that you may have
you may have gone through the, I would have thought that it's what, even if it's a line, that the PP report. There's a PP report about the whole saga of the compensation fund. One would have expected that there's a comment, even if it's a line, that they said we because it's a public, it's in the public domain, that we have received, we are looking into that as the board and that. Because I'm also also uncomfortable that the board is also referring some of the things to be responded to the commission. My understanding is that the commissioner reports to the board, and therefore the board is then supposed to be able to unpack some of the things, and if there are any additions or corrections, then the commissioner will come in. It's quite a whole load of questions. We'll give you 10 minutes to rearrange and correct whilst we break for comfort break and coffee at the back. 10 minutes, we'll come back. Thank you. Gracias.